Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. My name is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to First We Must Die.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. So right off the top, we know we're going to talk about tonight right off the top, don't we? Bards Fest, Bards Fest, Bards Fest, Bards Fest. Let me say it one more time, Bards Fest. Tickets are on sale for both venues. Hurry up, go get your tickets. Don't waste time. Just go get over to get them. Get all your tickets. Like, buy every day. Buy all your tickets every day. So tickets for Bards Fest. They're on sale now on the website, bardsfm.com/Bards Fest. Or bardsfm.com, click on the icon that says Bards Fest. Or bardsfest.com, look up to the upper bar and click on the upper bar that says Bards Fest. How's that? You can't go wrong. It's all Bards Fest. So, get over to Bards Fest. Tickets, places to buy tickets. You want to buy tickets. Indoor, outdoor, the two massive Bards Fest festivities, festivals all over the place. You got to get your stuff going on. Because it's going to be, at least we are praying for it to be, the greatest revival in the history of the world. And we know it's going to be incredible. It's going to be, and it just keeps stacking up with great names. Incredible people coming, incredible places happening. Man, I'm telling you, we're going to shake the world. Shofars, music, amazing pastors, amazing speakers. Here's some, how about Dr. Sherry Tenbenny, Mike Lindell, Jim Meehan, Pastor Travis Graham, Pastor Tony Wood, Pastor Greg Locke. I mean, come on. This is like the lineup of the lifetime. We're going to kick it. So get on over there and get your tickets. It's going to rock. Each day, sermons, speakers, sermons, music. Each day, sermons, music, sermons, music, sermons. You kind of got the pattern, right? So get on over there. Okay, and then speaking of Mike Lindell, on the 27th, Mike Lindell is going to be this Friday. He's going to be there to speak. And I'm working to get him to speak at both venues. I've got him indoors. I've got to talk to his assistant, who's really wonderful, and see if we can get him to speak outdoors. I think he will. And so we're going to have our Slipper Revolution Day, which means what, patriots? You got to have a pair of my slippers. So you got to get over to Bards F, not Bards. Well, you can do that too, but you got to get over to mypillow.com, and you have to use that promo code. That's B-A-R-D-S. Right? Bards. Ready for this? Give me a B, give me an A, give me an R, give me a D, give me an S. Bards. What's that spell? Bards. There you go. You'll never forget it. You'll be going to sleep tonight going, I hate him. He literally just gave me a jingle in my head I can't get rid of. Bards, 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 Bards. Use that promo code. Spread it everywhere, far and wide. We want to get 1 million patriots in my slippers. And we want to pack it with my slippers. So my slippers are for everyone. Plus, you've got my pillows, my sheets, my comforters, and great deals on all of that right now. Smoking deals. And if you use that Bards code, it's incredible. 40% off on slippers, 66% off on pillows. Some sort of two for the lowest price or for the common price or whatever it is. Sheets, it's awesome. Comforters, doggy beds. It's all there. So get on over to MyPillow. Use your Bards code. Help Mike Lindell build one of the greatest companies in the country as he fights for truth and stands up to the deep state as they continue to try to crush him. They're a bunch of socialist hags that are trying to come after him. So let's do the my thing and rock and roll it. Okay, patriots? All right. I hope the title caught you by surprise today. First, we must die. And I'm going to talk about it because we must. As a country, we must. So this afternoon, I spent, in the last couple of days, I've been getting all these lists of things done, that getting so that when I go, I leave on Thursday to travel, heading down to California to speak this weekend in Anaheim. I've been kind of just going through this whole list of things. I'm just about done. I'll hit completion by tomorrow morning. It's going to be pretty amazing. And one of those things that I've been working on, and I just finished it today, is the Patriot Garden, because it's been a 4-month project of converting what was a remainder of a lawn and a backyard area, about a third of an acre roughly, to complete garden beds and getting it all ready for what I'm calling the Patriot Garden. So that means reclaiming a back hill space with terraced beds, putting in 5 new beds, I planted a whole row of blueberries this weekend as a hedgerow, got all the shade netting up, have the new water tanks installed so we can do rainwater reclamation. So why all the push? And it's, for me, it's an urgent push because I want to get it done because I see a storm flowing and I want to make sure that we're ready for it because I think food is going to become an issue. But it is more than that as well. And it's about being part of building the new economy, the new republic. And we really have to start embracing what that's going to mean. It's a lot of hard work, every one of us. There's no time to be diddling around. This time that we're in right now is going to require that each and every one of us does more than we ever thought possible. And I'm going to tell you honestly, I accomplished more in the last few days than I thought was possible. And that's a lot of God at work right there. But we have to start taking care of our households and building this foundation for what the new economy will be. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But I want to start this evening with a reading from parts of a piece by Pastor Butch Paugh, who I'm hoping will be a speaker at Bard's Fest. We're working on it right now. He's a friend of Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's, and we're working on that introduction. And so here's how it goes. I'm going to read a couple segments from his piece. The piece is called America, Why Will Ye Die? So one of the paragraphs down here in this piece says, America has become as Sodom and as Gomorrah because the mass of the people love it to be so. Even most of the denominations, sects, and how the Bible calls denominations, heresies, love to have it so. They have become proud of the sin of sexual perversion. Look up heresies in your Strong's Concordance. We as a nation, and even most individuals, no longer even blush or become angry with the sin and desecration that has become the norm in America. Then on down here it says, you see, my friend, all true crime is a sin, a crime against God and his moral law. Many things have become made a crime by man's standards, but are not a crime or sin by God's standards. Conspiracy is one of the broad brushes government paints with when there is no victim to be alleged crime. Malonese God law versus malum prohibita, man's law. Let's look at some examples of these too. And he goes on to talk about stealing and murder and fornication, sexual perversions. Stealing against God's law with strict consequences. Murder against God's law and requiring death penalty. Fornication, shackling up, adultery, both okayed by man's law system but worthy of death under God's law. Sexual perversions, rape worthy of God's law. Sodomy, homosexuality, an abomination in God's eyes. Lesbianism, same as above. Bestiality, again, is an abomination in God's eyes, but never mentioned to speak of by man. So-called Christians that attend many denominations, heresies today, not only tolerate many of these crimes against God, but celebrate the freedoms to commit them. The Episcopal, United Methodist, and many Baptist denominations now ordain women into offices of leadership in their corporations they call churches, including that of being a pastor. clearly an ungodly act. Search the scripture for yourself on this one. These are some, I can tell you right now, I can already, there's probably people bristling with some of those comments. And that's okay, as it should be. God's law is a strict law. And it is corrupted into our churches. And it is corrupted into the teachings. And it's becoming so mainstreamed that it's truly becoming so common, I should say, in mainstream, that people are just shrugging their shoulders at it. I mean, just turn on, if you haven't, just turn on TV any night and watch one of the regular TV series, and you will see all of that right there. All of those crimes will be portrayed with some sort of heroic deeds of some fashion or another, or portrayed in such a way they were supposed to be glorifying it. It'll all glorify these acts. Every single thing in our society from top to bottom has been corrupted now by the powers to be and those that worship the Luciferian side. And everything about the Luciferian process is an inversion, taking God's law and turning it on its head. So when we go to these examples of stealing against God's law with strict consequences, but made legal by man's law, look at San Francisco. Murder against God's law and requiring the death penalty, but legal under man's law. 75 million babies slaughtered in the name of constitutional freedom. There's one for you. 75 million. Think about that for a minute. All of World War II just got erased. Not erased, but overshadowed by the murder of children. And see, I'm going to stick on that for a minute because this is one of these acts that in the process of our day, it weighs on us, but we do nothing about it. It's like, oh yeah, abortion, I hate it. And we just kind of shrug it off. These are huge issues, massive, and they're testimonies to us as people in God's world, what we are doing and what we are accountable to. And we're not doing anything. You know, I'm going to be honest. I like to do these because it's honest here in the show. It always struck me as how men were so often the predominant voice at these abortion rallies. And I'm like the protests out in front of clinics, and there'd be men there and wouldn't be enough women. And many times the men would outnumber the women. And I just shake my head. It's like, all right, whatever. Well, there's kind of two sides to that. One, now I would say it this way. Glad to see the men involved. Two, how shocking it is that it isn't more women involved. And three, why are we not all involved? And I'm throwing myself right into that pot of guilt because we're not doing enough. I can't think of a greater crime in murder than the slaughter of children and unborn. I can't think of it. It's God's gift to us. So yes, I would have to include myself in the many that have just kind of shrugged their shoulders and turned their back on this, because I have. And I think many of us have. And it's a sick statement to what we are. You know, someone just wrote, and it's true, on the board, signed petitions, big deal. Correct, we signed petitions. I hate signing petitions. It's the dumbest act in the world. People go, we need signatures. No, what you need is action. You need action in front of people. So let's, again, I hope we get Pastor Butch Paw at the Bards Fest. I think we will, but he's a strong voice, strong voice. So let's look at a couple of things here, what's going on. So as we continue this perspective, if America falls, this is a headline in the Epoch Times, if America falls into socialism, it might never recover, says the president of the Historical Society. Defending the Constitution that gave America stability, prosperity, freedom, are more critical now than ever. I hate these discussions, just like this whole thing with abortion. It's like, yes, we're here. Why are we at the cusp? Why have we arrived at the brink? And I'll give you one statistic that might give an indication. It's that same one we just used. 75 million babies aborted, murdered, not even aborted, murdered. 75 million babies murdered. Now, I want you to put this in context. We are pushing constantly, they are pushing constantly for more immigrants to come across the border. We're hearing constantly how there is not enough skilled labor to fill the jobs, how they need immigrants to come across the border. So let me pivot back and just add a number again. 75 million babies aborted. I wonder if that might have anything to do with that gap. This is an intentional act to slaughter a nation and to slaughter God's people. And it is truly a genocide that we are witnessing. And not only witnessing, but participant in. Because it's all around us, and it is controllable, it is stoppable, but we have allowed that lobby to become so powerful and funded. The best part always, I say that with sardonic grin, the best horror of that whole thing is that it's funded by taxpayer dollars to a certain extent. And if it's not funded, then it's the government participating in the trafficking of baby parts. So we have, again, we go back to this headlines. If America falls into socialism, it might not ever recover. Here's my general statement. America died and is dead. We're already in that socialist tyrannical pit. It's actually called corporate tyranny. They're trying to give a whitewash to it, calling socialism. There is no socialism. It's corporate tyranny. And we've already arrived in that pit. The question is, are we going to climb out and rebuild, or are we going to stay there in the inferno of hell? We're already here. On August 21st of 2001, the Constitution was dead, killed, destroyed, burned to the ground. Something called the Patriot Act. It wiped it out in lock, stock, and barrel. There was nothing left. The only reason you have a Constitution is this clown show that goes on up in D.C. wants to make you believe it, so they act out the Constitution while they destroy everything else behind using the Patriot Act. On April 29th, 2020, President Trump signed the Proclamation of Law Day. Read it carefully, because in it, it defines very clearly the roles and the responsibilities, which is that we, as the people, are responsible for defending the Constitution. Paragraph number 4. And it's essential that you understand that, because essentially, as I mark the date, historically, April 29, 2020 designated the death of the Republic, because it was no more. It was up to us now to move forward. Him, in the position of the executive, was doing what he could to reduce the burden of government rules and regulations while trying to stimulate business here to motivate an economy. But ultimately, the fight for the Constitution was ours to take. And he made it very clear, and it was at a critical time, if you look back. If you remember where we were and the media was rolling out its mask mandate, notice I said the media was, because the people believed the media and the media would just fan the flames of the fear, and there you go, off to the races. And at least 60% of the public fell to their knees and began worshiping fear. They might as well have just put their first child in the oven on the butt of the golden bull and burned it like they used to. Because all they were doing was they were worshiping Lucifer and Baal, Moloch, Baphomet, whatever the heck the stupid two-bit god is. And so they did. They did it through action by getting on their knee and going, oh, I'm afraid, I'm going to put on a mask, I'm fearful, I'm going to live in fear, and I'm not going to leave fear. And they gave the power to the state. So our Constitution was already dead. October 21st, 2001. Our republic was declared dead April 29th, 2020. And then on July 3rd, President Trump gave everybody the reminder of how we were going to win this and the only way we would win this, which was to stand up and be loud, be heard. It is essential to understand that this country is at a state of war. And if the country that you knew is gone forever, If you're looking for that convenience, that explanation, that vacation, that exciting adventure on the tour cruise, as long as you get your injection, you're just being a jack fool in this whole game. And I mean it. You just bought the whole lie. They didn't even have to coat it with extra chocolate sauce and caramel crumbs. You just took the hook, line, and sinker, swallowed it, and let it hook you right in the gut and let them pull everything right out from in you. And so where we sit right now is a place where there's a whole bunch of people that decided to do that walk off the cliff. And we have tried to scream and protect them. We've done everything we can to awaken them. And they put the hand up and it's like, listen to the hand. I don't want to hear you. And so this is where we've come to, always the same place. And I hit on this every night because it's critical, because we're going to sit here and this is what we're going to do, because God asks us to do this and we are doing it. And we're going to pray for them and we're going to guide them with light and we're going to bring them across, as many that will listen. And we're going to rebuild this republic, but we're going to rebuild this as the leaders of this republic, not those sitting on the sidelines or in the pews. And we're going to change a few things. The republic is dead and it has to die completely. That means all these institutions around here that you're witnessing that are so perverted, Nike in their devil shoes, Apple in their chomped out little icon, a reminder that with celebrating the act of Eve, it's everywhere, patriots. Every institution, every corporate entity is a symbolism towards their control, with very few exceptions. You know, I had a long talk. I'm going to highlight two companies today because there is hope, and that's what I want to give you. And it's just two, but I want to just give this to you. So you know I love Carson Shoes. I've talked about him. He's a great guy. He's up in south of Portland, Oregon. He makes tennis shoes. And he's trying to get his business back on. I have some really cool news, really cool story about him coming up too. So just, it'll be in the next couple of weeks. And I talked to him for about half an hour the other day on the phone. Super guy, trying to rebuild his company, doing an amazing job of innovating in a very difficult time. COVID wiped out his labor force because, well, who wants to work when they can get free unemployment money from the state and the federal? So anyway, he's one of these that's fighting this. He's praying a lot. And he's facing, and he's even said, he said, every time I stand up to do something, it's like some demon smacks me down. It's like, yep, we both agreed that, you know, this is a spiritual war. But he's fighting, and he's fighting for the right to live a dream and to build a dream. And the great thing about him is, man, this guy is like zero prejudice, seriously. I mean, he's just like, man, I just want people to work for me. I don't care. Yeah, I just want good workers to work for me, and I want to give them jobs. And he's really amazing. And so we're going to be talking about one of his programs he's doing coming up. That'll be in the next couple of weeks. I'm hoping, like even next week, because he's got an amazing program he's doing. Which I might as well, I'll just give you the highlight, because if you want to cruise over to his website, you can probably drop him a resume if you want. He's got a work from home, a way of working from home and helping and being part of the manufacturing process of building shoes. It's literally amazing how he's taking the shoe manufacturing process and decentralizing it for work at home environments. That it's incredible. And you, obviously he wants certain skill sets, but he trains a lot. So we'll get in depth on that. But anyway, I just want to highlight that because he's an incredible guy. And so he builds amazing shoes, the most comfortable shoes I've ever worn, seriously. And so he is somebody that is fighting for this dream. And in the midst of all this crazy, as corporations are trying to rip away everything and they're losing American value, he is one that's holding it. And I'm going to be honest, he's not sitting up here like waving the American flag and he's just like, look, man, I'm an American. I want to be here in this country. I want to live a dream. I want to give good jobs. I don't want to get involved in, it's like, I'm not trying to be political. I'm trying to build a great company. I get it. He's like, but man, if I had to become deeper in my faith. Yes. And it's amazing to watch that. And that's what we're looking for. So then we have another company today. Our in-house supermod MSN, and I just talked about this a little bit ago. So I was looking for some parts for the Jeep and finding out that so many companies have been now shipped over to China. There's a shocker once again, right? So I'm getting frustrated, and I cruise onto this company today called JRC Off-Road, or JCR, I'm sorry, JCR Off-Road. And it's like right up front, I call the guys and they're like, oh yeah, we build everything here. And we get American steel. And when we can't get American steel, we get a Canadian steel, but we try to always get American steel first. And everything we sell here is either assembled in America if we don't make it, because some parts aren't made here in the States, but we get everything, we source everything American. See, these are the companies when we talk about like America dying. These are the companies, two of them right now, that are about America reviving. And we have to commit to them. And we really do. We have to start. And when I say commit to them, it also means that you can't expect their products to be China cheap, Indonesia cheap. They're trying to revive a value system of hard work, of fair value, and pride in a country, of what the country is. I mean, these guys are part of a future that we have to look at. And this is about rebuilding the country and doing it through the small innovators, the small businesses. Let the big corporations be, because they are literally the pit and the armpit of the Luciferian hell that we're trying to get out of. And they are. There's nothing good to talk about when we talk about those companies. We have to use some of their products openly. I have to use an Apple computer right now because it has the software that I need to do what I do, etc. But that will change as we innovate and as we address those needs and as we push forward to do that. We have to do that. But like computers are a great example. Unless you're a Linux programmer, and there are some, and there are some good systems that you can build, but try building a 100% American-made Linux system. You're not going to get it. You're going to end up with a Windows something or other that's been converted over, or you're going to get an Apple that's got some sort of dual processor in it so you can run Linux or something like that. I mean, you're going to use some sort of these systems. So there's always, we're in this compromise space, but my point of all of this is the old system has to die. And it's only through the death that we can rebuild to the new living. And the new living is based on the living God, the one God, the true God, the living God. Someone asked me the other day, it's like, so you're rebuilding a new America. And I said, no, first I'm part of rebuilding a new world where there's a king. And that king is Jesus Christ. And then from there, there's going to be these blessed lands. And hopefully one of them will be what we know as United States of America. Maybe we won't call it that. Maybe we'll call it America. Maybe we'll call it something else. I don't know, because I have no idea what we're going to be left with in this garbage pit that we're dealing with right now. But what I do know is what I'm pushing to be part of, and I hope that everyone else is part of, is that we put God first in all things. Which means our lives have to change radically, and we have to start looking towards God's laws to guide us. And maybe in points we're going to be uncomfortable with what those laws guide us to be, because we've become so accustomed to the soft and the squishy and the gray and the get by with it here or there. We have to get back to a disciplined way of living, to commit ourselves to something greater than ourselves. That's the path of the remnant. If you remember last night, I read you something really profound. And I'm going to read it again because I think it's very apropos. And it came from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's site. That they are, where they share some ideas and thoughts for the day. And it reads like this. We are in the days that the early church longed to see. There is a remnant of believers who refuse to align with the Babylonian system. This company of passionate, wholehearted lovers of God will be small in number and will demonstrate supernatural power. Their hearts will be fearless, loving not their lives unto death, living only for an audience of one. Their pursuit is to worship him with extreme obedience and to help others find him. They will be lovesick for his presence. We must choose daily who we will serve, a system or a savior. Profound words. And I think it's important to reflect because I'm running into this a lot where I'm going to talk next in this whole process. And it's this transitionary place where we're having people say things like, man, God's working amazing ways in my life. And when you listen to how that amazing ways in their life is working, it'll come down to the same thing. My bank account's getting exploding. My business is getting huge. And this is my response. Nice. But there's more gift in it than just the dollars. So don't miss it. If there is money coming into people's accounts, and if it's flowing in and filling these coffers, and if God is using people to do that, I would just say this, you better be spreading it wide and far, because God's not giving it to you to hoard, and God's not giving it to you to buy a new car, and God's not giving it to you to spread and buy a new $20,000 mansion. God wants you to take care of yourself. He wants you to steward it. He wants to make sure you're okay because he needs you to be solid. So don't get me wrong about that. He doesn't need you to give it all away and then out on the street with a tin cup because he's like, okay, that didn't help. But he doesn't expect you to hoard it and pile it and mound it to where like, yo, guess what I've got? I made like, you know, hey, I just made several million dollars and I just bought myself a brand new 20,000 square foot home and I'm just buying myself a brand new BMW. And then I decided I didn't want it. So I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to give that BMW over to somebody else and I'll buy something a little less expensive. Maybe I won't spend $80,000 on myself. I'm going to be humbled. I'm going to spend $50,000. I mean, that's the sort of the illogic, stupid stuff that's going on right now. We have to be stewards of what we are given. And we have to be in prayer with God to be able to guide that process of how he wants us to be. God wants us to be solid. He doesn't want us to be paupers on the street. He needs us to be solid. He needs us to have ammo in our pouch, arrows in our quiver. He needs us to have food in our belly. But not food so you become like some 3,000-pound pizza-eating dude that has to be lifted out of the side of a building with a forklift, as in New York. This is all about stewardship and building into the future, and there will be much more of this to come. There will be many more blessings that are extended, and the process of us all is to continue to build what God is calling us to build. To grow what God's calling us to grow and to help others to raise up. Live humbly. Be good stewards. Be responsible with what we have. All of this means we have to take more accountability in the days of what we do rather than seeking the convenience of what the other system offers and lures us in with. So I'm going to kind of go back where I began. I spent the last couple of days finishing the garden. There's a lot of other things that I could be doing than finishing the garden, but it had to be done. It's a benchmark that I had to hit because it's a stepping off into a commitment of another way now, a full another way of living, to where in the coming weeks and the coming months and the coming years, that convenience of going to the supermarket to get what you want, of going to the organic section to get what you want, that's going away. Because part of this new step is I'm taking accountability for what food I consume, as much of it as I can. And that excess that I have, that's going to the neighbor. That's going to somebody in need. That's going to the sharing part of all of this. And there's a provision every time to give some every time. That's that tithing that God would ask us to do without any commitment, but to do so from our heart. We have to commit ourselves to these things and take more responsibility in our lives to build our lives as solid sanctuaries for God to live, to thrive, and to let us grow boldly and powerfully from our homes outwards. And I've said this many times, and I want to be clear. We have to be understanding and just blessed with what we have. Whether your home is a vehicle, whether your home is an apartment, whether your home is a house, a condo, or a farm, let us steward that for the best we possibly can for us and how God wants us to use it in the communities of the many that are now beginning to awaken. It will come as we build it. The country is dead. We're wandering and waffling around. And we're literally wandering through the desert right now, all of us. The remnant is anchoring in a great way. The remnant is getting focused. The remnant is awakening to God's call. The remnant is preparing itself to take the steps forward that are necessary to lead the many into this new kingdom, this new republic. But the remnant are also the guides and the limits. We are that watcher on the wall, every one of us, that says in this new world, these are things that will happen and these are things that won't happen. And for many, it will not be possible. They won't want to go there. They'll say, "Ah, you guys are all too crazy, man. You're this nut cult. You're trying to tell me that I can't abort a kid. You're trying to tell me that I can't have sex with 15 women or I can't have sex with 15 men. Come on, man. That's uncool, dude." Then stay on the other side, because where we're going has no room for that. We have to rebuild this world. We have to rebuild this world with a foundation of moral integrity and above all things, natural law, which is the understanding that God gave us these rights that no one else can take from us except God. And in so doing, we have to abide by God's rules to live. Oh, and there's this other little thing. Just thought I'd throw this one in. Just a kind of a little sidebar. You better get Christ in your heart, because it's only through Christ to the Father. And so this nonsense we're going around here, it's like you can't say Christ, or you don't want to say Christ, but you want to generalize everything in terms of God. Okay. Time to repent and get Christ in your heart. Because without Christ, you're not going to have that bridge to God. You're not going to have that remaking of the perfection that we need in this new kingdom. Oh, and I will tell you, this podcast alone, I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of like, "You're a zealot. You're crazy. You become a radical Christian." Nope. I'm speaking truth from the heart about the relationship in this world to what we are expected to do. It's a walk that you can choose to take or not to take as it was in the beginning. You can choose to return to Him and embrace your full inheritance, or you can choose to walk away from Him and die in this world. But once we take that step off with Christ in our heart to rebuild this world, to rebuild this foundation, this republic, this new republic, which, make no mistake, this is a republic that will be built on the one God, the living God, the true God. And it will be built on the relationship with Christ, His Son, who was sacrificed on the cross to forgive us for our sins. Yes, all those things are true. And all those things it will be. And if you can't accept that, we can disagree on elements of Scripture. We might disagree on the extremity of a law here or there. And we'll take it back to prayer, and we'll take it back to the Scripture, and we won't always all get along, because some of us will be like, "I don't like the way you talk. I don't like the way you talk," whatever. But I will guarantee you, in this new republic, there is one thing we can all agree on. And it's the love of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the willingness for us to get down on our knees and pray together, to understand that through prayer, we heal the land. Through prayer, we build this new nation. And through prayer, every single day in the discipline of prayer, God guides us and leads us in all things. For us to acclaim the greatness that he asks us to achieve, and he pushes us to achieve. And in so doing, as he has promised, he will take care of everything. And through that, we leave the deceptions behind and we live into the truth of this new space, the new republic, which does have a king, and it's Jesus Christ. And under that is a representative body of people that are elected by we, the people, and those people are accountable first and foremost, like all of us, to God, and those people are secondly accountable to we, the people, and if they can't balance those two things, they need to go. And that's the beginning of the foundations of this new world. And with that, every single step as we take, that means businesses now prioritize all of that accordingly with their vision statements and with their mission statements and with their profit lines, whatever else they're doing. And as long as we walk that way together, we build something so incredible, so powerful, that the many will see it, and it will be like a light on the hill, and they will see it, and they will say, I want to be part of it. And the watchers at the wall will say, if you want to enter, you begin on your knees, and you humble yourself before him, and then you accept the responsibility of your sins, and then you accept Christ in your heart. And then we can begin to let you into the kingdom that we're creating in the name of God, the one God, the living God, and our King and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the only way forward, because we can't continue to live in this pit that we're living in. And if we're going to honor God, we have to be that committed, that dedicated, and it is a lot of work. But I, for one, am ready, and I hope you are too. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these amazing times in which we live, and a time in which we can see clearly. We can see the truths that are hidden before us, the deceptions that have been placed all around us. And we can see with eyes that you give us and ears that are here to hear the truth and those words which you speak to us to guide us through these times. Lord, as we walk this path, and that wide gate is so alluring and it keeps pulling people away, let us keep true to the narrow gate, that narrow path that continues to ascend. And we know that we will be challenged. Let us hold Christ dearly in our heart to continue that pathway forward. Let us be absolutely committed to you, Lord, the remnant who seeks only you above all things. And let us be that light to build something truly amazing in your name. A new republic, a new economy, a new world based on your laws, based on our relationship through you, to you. And let us do so knowing that our King and Savior is with us in each and every step, that Christ is in our hearts to heal us, to remake us, and to allow us to come back to you. Let us empower our watchers of the wall. Let us support our builders who build the wall. Let us praise the healers that deal with the many that are wandering. Let us encourage the teachers to teach the wisdom of Scripture. Let us nurture the wisdom to carry us on for generations. And let us inspire the innovations that will bring us to a new level of understanding, not through the mechanics of things that we create, but first and foremost through the love and worship of you in all things that are created and made. Let us have a vision of a new future. Guide us, protect us in this path. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. So much ahead and so exciting a time to be alive. I wouldn't miss it for the world. Apparently God thought so too, because he stuck me here. He's like, I got a deal for you. It's like, what's that? I'm going to send you to a real special place. Where is that? Oh, you'll see. You'll get a kick out of it. And you're like, oh, I see it now. You sent me to the den of Lucifer. Outstanding. All right, we'll get busy. We got some tail to kick and some throats to stomp. And that's the way it is. All right, Patriots, so keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into this fight. This is an amazing time, so keep your prayers up. Amazing time to live. Challenges are here, but we'll overcome all of them as long as we keep true to our path with Christ in our heart and through Christ to the Father. And as we do that and we work together and we understand and always remember, we will have differences. But let us always know that through those differences, we can find one common ground that we share, all of us. It's the love of Christ Jesus, our Savior. So let us always find that place to pray. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. The only forsaking that's ever occurred is us as people. Oh, I think I'm going to go take that shot. Good on you. Nice job. Man, craziness. Let us also keep an open heart for those that are wandering. Let us not forget them in our prayers. We don't become them, but we have to be the light for them. Big difference. And in the end, like we know, God will always win. But God wins more when we do our job better by bringing the many more home. And that's part of what we're here for. So have a blessed night. I'll see you this evening for Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
an old evil that has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.